Welcome back to the EFL Freezer Crowd podcast. We're back this week with a full programme of Championship, but due to the FA Cup, there's much fewer games across Leagues 1 and 2. I'm joined again this week by Andy. How are you, mate?
Afternoon, James.
Hiya. And of course, Luke. How you doing, mate?
How are we, gentlemen?
Yeah, not too bad. Good to be back. In a week where we saw Tony Pulis return to Stoke, Swindon finally beat Oxford, and a whole host of very soft penalties. We're back to cover the EFL again this week. So welcome back to the pod.
Where are you? Where are you? Lesby Avenue!
Delius Smith there. Obviously, normally at this point, we'd go into the three games that we've looked at across the weekend. But it's not often that Coventry go to Carrow Road and get a point. So I think we'll start by covering our teams this weekend.
And it's not often that Millwall get a point. Oh, wait, they drew every game in November.
Some say unbeaten, Luke, but...
another say fourth from bottom in the form table.
Yeah, well, we've moved on to 8 draws now this season from 14 games. You say earlier the record in the Football League is 23 draws all season. I mean, we're on for that now.
Record book stuff.
Yeah, what record book are you in?
No comment. Well, 4 points in a week for Coventry. A great 3 points in the midweek against Cardiff, and then a well-fought point away to Norwich on Saturday. It's probably worth pointing out that Norwich have got something like 12 players injured at the moment. No striker, no Tim Krul in goal. Emi Buendia, obviously suspended, which some people would say is the spine of their team. So I guess they'll take a point. Robins, Coventry manager, actually said that they're quite blessed as a team and they've basically got two first teams, and that their fans should maybe feel happy about the fact they've got all those injuries because it offers them some freshness. Not sure what their fans would have to say about that, but I don't care. We've gone there and got the point.
Yeah, well, it could have been all three as well, couldn't it, James? I mean, I'm sure we'll get onto some of the dodgy penalties this weekend or this week.
Well, it's not a pen. Well, it's just not a penalty. He's got both hands on the ball, the keeper. I actually feel really sorry for him. It's his first game, league game for Coventry, Ben Wilson, after Morosi shattered his cheekbone in the week. And it looks like an injury that's kept him out for a while. And we've had to bring in Camp on a free agent short-term deal to cover for him, and no one was sure whether it would be Wilson or Camp that would play. But Wilson's got the nod after apparently agreeing to start if Robbins would give him a cuddle before the game, which happened apparently. But Wilson started, and he's made a couple of really good saves in the first half to keep us in it. A great double save actually, and then they've played a ball into the Coventry box, and he's come out as you'd want your goalkeeper to do, got two hands on the ball and pushed it away. Their player's gone down like a sack of spuds. And for some reason, the ref's given a penalty. You can see the ball's moved in the opposite direction.
Yeah, Wilson is furious at it. You can tell. It's just like he hates that decision.
So he should. Absolutely ridiculous. I was watching this one, paid my £10, and apparently there was some chat about Darren Huckabee at halftime. Showing the Norwich commentators the actual goal, and apparently they all came to the conclusion that it was definitely not a penalty either. So, yeah, frustrating one. Could have had all 3 points, but I'm pleased with the point at Carrow Road, to be honest. We'll take that.
Yeah, Robin said after the game that he was very proud of the players, and he said it was a point gained. But I feel like with the penalty decision, it was more like two lost.
Yeah, it was a really hard one to figure out, to be honest, because the starting 11 he's gone with, I don't think many Coventry fans would have guessed that. Bakayoko getting the nod to start is not something that many of us expected. And a few changes, and obviously the goalkeeper change was forced. Almost looked like maybe he was kind of not writing the game off, it's probably a bit harsh, but probably going there for a point. And then after last week me saying that he wasn't too impressed with the decision to allow 5 substitutes, this week he goes and makes all 5 subs and they make the difference. So, yeah, we'll take the point and move on. 4 points in a week and hopefully the start of a decent run with Wayne Rooney's derby coming up on on Tuesday night, I think it is.
Yeah, one of those substitutes being Max Biamo, who pounced on that opportunity for the goal. And you said he came from non-league.
Well, yeah. I mean, he was playing in some ridiculously low tier in France about 4 years ago. A stat to bore everyone. He's now scored in every competition he's played in England. So that's League Two, the League Two playoffs, League One, Championship. He scored in the cup games, including the, well, what we would have known as the Johnston's Paint, then the Checker Trade, and now Papa John's. Thank God we're not part of that anymore. Yeah, so big up yourself, Max Biamo. He's leaped up off the ground to put the ball in the net. I don't know, but like a salmon. He's just absolutely pinged up off the floor and put it in the net. But enough on Coventry.
Yeah, that is definitely enough on Coventry for 1 week for anyone's ears, I think. And I won't bore you with any Millwall chat this week, as I'm sure. Another nil-nil draw.
Next.
And a 1-1. Yeah. Next, please.
And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
Yeah, cheers, Kevin. So I thought I'd pick a rivalry on that note this week. So I've gone for the one that Di Canio famously said was bigger than Lazio Roma. That's right. It's the A420 derby, Oxford-Swindon. And it's been 19 years now since Swindon have actually beaten Oxford, which I can imagine has been pretty hellish for their fans, but they finally put one over them. 7,203 days. 18-year-old fans not tasting victory against them. It took John Sheridan coming in to turn that tide that Di Canio couldn't do himself. Going 1-0 down as well after Matty Taylor, a classic Matty Taylor finish, made it 1-0. And there were chances for each team, really. Matty Taylor missed a few more for Oxford. Swindon couldn't really get going. And it took a bit of what BBC Radio Wiltshire called tactical genius by John Sheridan, which, I mean, it's a bold move from him to put centre-half Tom Broadbent up front. And it's paid off massively, completely changed the game. A goal and an assist, 85th and 90th minute, and they've gone on to win it. Young Tyler Smith with the winner as well, on loan from Sheffield United, has got a few goals this season. And I think Carl Robinson sort of summed it up best at the end, where he said he couldn't defend what happened in the second half. And I said, yeah, Carl, neither could your players, mate.
Set himself up for one there.
And Swindon were given a great return home from their fans. A couple of hundred of them waiting outside the grounds there. We won't go into that one for obvious reasons. But I think that brings it on to 2,000 fans being let into the grounds pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how that one plays out. I think we touched on it a little bit last week about kind of how it might benefit some teams more than others. Obviously, if you're in Tier 3, then you're getting absolutely no benefit from it. Those Tier 2 teams, it's going to be interesting to see whether it actually changes the results too much. But yeah, I think it's something we've all just kind of got to get behind, whether you're Tier 2 or Tier 3, because it's going to be great to see fans back in the stadiums.
Yeah, obviously, only one of us are lucky enough to be in Tier 2 at the moment.
Who's so, that, mean, then?
Well, I'm going to have to pop down to a game of some sort.
Hey, we're in London, aren't we?
To represent the podcast.
Just to get your football fix.
Exactly. I mean, unfortunately, there's no EFL teams in Tier 1 at the moment. So maybe if Truro City make it happen to the EFL at some point.
Make a big surge.
I'm hoping that we'll be out of all this tier stuff by the time that Truro City make it back into the EFL. Otherwise, something's gone very wrong with this vaccine. But that's enough Corona chat.
You say that, yeah.
I was stood on the touchline, 33 minutes gone at Cardiff, and thinking, we're doing well here. Look, you know, playing well, and I'm enjoying it. And 8 minutes later, I'm 3-0 down. And they've just scored a third goal, and I'm going to myself, what a goal that is.
Right, from one disappointing Warnock result to another, I watched Huddersfield host Middlesbrough on Saturday. Warnock returning to one of his many clubs, but you have to go back to 1995 when he managed Huddersfield. This was the best defence in the EFL, let alone the league. They've conceded, well, before the weekend, they conceded 6 goals, only 1 from open play, hosting a team that were struggling to score at home in Huddersfield. It started exactly how Warnock would have wanted, with Britta Sombalonga blazing over the bar from 3 yards, fuming.
Yeah, what a miss that is. That is. I would go as far as to say it was easier to score than do that. So,
well, he'll be happier at the bloke who missed the penalty last week by kicking it twice, Marcus Tavernier. He plays in Marvin Johnson, who drives it under the keeper for 1-0. So he's a little bit happier after that. And then Josh Caroma on the left hand side, he's a good little player, probably Huddersfield's best player this season so far. Plays it inside to Karel Eiting, who's on loan from Ajax.
Yeah, one of the 3 baby-faced assassins at Ajax that De Ligt and De Jong have gone on to better things. And I'll leave that one there.
He's looked quite good, though. He's scored a few goals as well now, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think he's 3-3. And he just bashes one from the edge of the box. And Bettinelli should do better, but still, 1-1. Yeah, Fraser Campbell puts them 2-1 up. Just on the stroke of half time. It looks like a lovely little dink. And then you watch it again, and he slips over and manages to accidentally chip it over the goalkeeper. Huddersfield 2-1 up at half time. Warnock fuming again.
That goal from Campbell is absolutely ridiculous. I'm not sure how he's actually done it. And then he runs away, and you can see him mouthing something along the lines of, "What a stinky finish," or something. Absolutely brilliant reaction from him there. Horrendous goal. They all count.
They all count. Yeah, Britt wins a penalty in the second half to draw them level. Kind of making up for that 3-yard miss. And it's another soft one. But Navi Sarr shouldn't go in like that. It's just clumsy. Just clumsy. But he converts it really well. You know, slams it into the postage stamp. Kind of an unnecessary place to put a penalty right up there. But, you know, he'll take it. And Josh Caroma then cuts inside just to make Warnock's day even worse. Cuts inside in the 85th minute and just bends one into the far post, and Huddersfield take it 3-2.
Lovely finish that one, wasn't it? He looks like a really lively player.
Yeah, he's been their best player this season. I think that was goal number 6. Been their best player. I think they've been very inconsistent. They've either been very good or, you know, struggling to create chances. And I think they've been missing like an Emile Smith Rowe that they had last season, just that creative midfielder.
Yeah, to keep things ticking over a little bit more. Mm. I think they even had periods in that game, to be honest, where they weren't great, kind of weathered the storm for a little while and then took their chances well. But yeah, you're right. It is a soft penalty for Middlesbrough there. But you can see why the ref's given it. It is a clumsy one. Doesn't really need to do it. But yeah, that's one of the many soft ones from this weekend. And that leads me on to Port Vale. I think they might have a few fans staggering about themselves this weekend after losing their 5th game on the bounce. They did actually get off to quite a decent start to the season, but really struggled across their last 5 games and not actually picked up a point at all. The game started with a bit of a dodgy goal from Vale, actually. Leon Legg gets his head on the ball and sees it sort of cleared off the line, but the referee says it's gone over and it's given.
Leon Head.
Oh, Jesus. No. Yeah, we're going to move on from that. And we've then got Orient evening it up with a Danny Johnson goal, and then actually go 2-1 up with probably the best goal of the weekend in my eyes, Connor Wilkinson. Vale look like they have the chance to clear it about 14 times before it finds the net. The best part for me is where Port Vale defender boots the ball clear, but actually hits his own player about 2 yards in front of him. Rolls straight to Wilkinson, and he manages to find the net, and it goes 2-1 Orient. Just as you're thinking that it's going to be another game with no points for Port Vale, they actually get themselves back into the game with a great goal from Christian Montano. This time, when I say great, it really is a great goal. He's curled one in it. It's a really nice finish. But then in true Vale fashion across their last 5 games, they've chucked it away late on, and James Brophy makes it 3-2 to Orient. Orient, kind of having a bit better fortunes at the moment, on a bit of a run, and have managed to get themselves into the top six at the moment, I think it is. So yeah, Orient will be really pleased with that. Port Vale seriously need to kind of get a turnaround, and quickly. Interestingly enough, Leon Hetleg actually put a message out to the fans about, I think it was about two or three games ago, where they've lost a game, and he's apologised and kind of suggests that they're going to turn it around. Since then, still yet to pick up a point. So perhaps he needs to worry more about what he's doing on the pitch than on social media there, Leon Legg.
Yeah, another great result for Leighton Orient, and another goal for Danny Johnson.
Yeah, that header put him on 13 for the season, so he's a man in form at the moment, and reflects well for them, to be honest. They're on obviously a great run at the minute. John Askey was absolutely fuming after the full-time whistle, felt that his team should have been given a penalty after the ball crossed from David Worrell actually struck the arm. I think it was of the eventual winning goal scorer, James Brophy. So we said about soft penalties this weekend, but Askey absolutely fuming that Vale didn't manage to get a penalty themselves this weekend. But overall, not a result that Port Vale will want to be thinking about for too long. And obviously Orient flying at the minute.
It looks like they've been struggling a little bit since, obviously, they've lost the other day against Coventry.
Oh, yeah. And that'll play havoc with anyone's morale, that, wouldn't it? So.
Obviously, again, talking about Reading's morale there, they've finally managed to pick up 3 points after a bit of a dry run recently against on-in-form Bristol City. So, 3-1 there. Great result and some really nice goals, actually, to start the round up. Cardiff managed to get a 4-0 win against Luton, who have actually been really good on the road recently. So, great result for Neil Harris there.
Yeah, I think he was starting to come under a little bit of pressure, so that'll relieve it for a week or so.
Yeah, well, he actually said it himself before the game that he was feeling under pressure. So, team have given a good reaction there.
Well, after a draw to Millwall last week, you know, that will play havoc with anyone's morale.
Well, that's half the league then. We're going to have a very downbeat championship this year with everyone drawing Millwall. But yeah, Blackburn got a good result against Barnsley, who have surprised quite a few people, I think. Adam Armstrong scoring again, obviously, because that's what he does. Rotherham got a surprise point at home to Bournemouth. Good 2-2 draw for them. Watford banged in the goals this week after being questioned by a few people last week, I think. Troy Deeney getting the start and having a bit of an input in a few of their goals. Another questionable penalty in that game. I'm not sure if Ismail Assar has actually landed from that dive yet, but it was given.
He went down like a sack of spuds. Definite dive.
Yeah, into League One. Great result for Charlton and just the reaction that Bowyer would have wanted. Getting a 2-0 away win at Ipswich. Lambert did not seem a happy bunny after that one, understandably. And then finally into League Two, we obviously covered the Port Vale Leighton Orient game, but Bolton absolutely flying at the moment. 3-0 win for them, and another couple of goals for Owen Doyle.
Yeah, one of them converting a very soft penalty that he won himself. But in a weekend of soft penalties, this is like a bit of a free-for-all. So, you know, take what you can get. Poor Southend, yeah. Still lingering at the bottom.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's it really with the fixtures, obviously with there being less games in League One and League Two. But something that is worth pointing out is Shrewsbury obviously sacking their manager Sam Ricketts after a bit of a bad run and bringing in Steve Cotterill.
Yeah, obviously very well liked by Bristol City fans after doing a good job there. But then went on to have a little bit of a horror show with Birmingham City getting the sack eventually. So we'll see which Steve Cotterill Shrewsbury fans get.
Yeah, it is an interesting one because it's his man management that comes under question quite a lot. He seems to be quite aggressive, maybe, manager in the way that he deals with his teams. And I think, you know, when it's going well, that's fine. I think the teams can kind of get behind that and creates a bit of an atmosphere. Definitely that happened at Bristol City. But then when it's not going well, it really doesn't come across well in interviews. And I'm sure it doesn't come across well in the changing room. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. Something I did see was a few people were wondering why he'd been given such a long contract. I think it's 3 years or 3.5 years that he's been given there, which in these times is quite a gamble. But then someone pointed out that when he took over at Bristol City, they're in exactly the same position and they offered him a 3.5-year contract. And I'm pretty sure overall they'd be pretty happy with how he did there. Obviously, it didn't end well for him there in the end. But I think he won a promotion and the Mickey Mouse Cup in the same season. So they'll definitely take that. But yeah, going to be an interesting one. Yeah, then we had Matt Bloomfield scoring again this weekend.
You say again, he's not so prolific. It's just the fact he scored in 18 of his 19 seasons at Wickham.
Yeah, incredible form from him.
To get his one goal.
Yeah, I mean, he often gets one or two a season, but I mean, the 2013-14 season in League Two, no goals. I think maybe that should be mentioned.
What is he doing?
He's let himself down, the club down. No, fair play to him, though. That's a commitment to the cause to stick with them for that long, and obviously for them to stick with him. But yeah, what a servant he's been for them over the years. And there's only one place we can finish up our little roundup this week, and that's with another scoreless draw for Tony Pulis.
He loves a scoreless draw. Since he's come in, he's had 3 games, he scored 1 goal, and he's had 2 shots on target. Beautiful. Pulis ball.
Welcome back, Tony.
Yeah, to be fair, he was quite brutal about his team, saying it was pretty obvious where they needed to improve. But I suppose their fans will be happy with how they've tied it up at the back. So yeah, as you say, welcome back, Tony Pulis.
And I will try to fix you.
And moving on to our emails, we've had one from Kath this week, subject line, get off the fence. And it starts as it means to go on. A little bit of abuse in there, a few comments from people. But in amongst all that abuse, I've found a question.
I know we had planned to do this email early doors, hadn't we? But obviously we're doing it more towards the end this week.
Yeah, we had. And I think that phrase might be picked up in the email as well somewhere. Who is the worst EFL player you have ever seen? So this one's a tough one to stay on the fence. But I'll start off by saying they're all good players. It's a bit harsh to say the worst player. But then again, I did witness Gary Taylor Fletcher and Robert Hulse up front for Millwall over the last 7 years or so.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I mean, thanks, Kath, by the way. Not for the abuse, but thanks for the question. It's funny, isn't it? Whenever you kind of have a look at players that you've seen in the past, and clearly for us, it's most likely to be players that we've seen a lot. So especially for me and Andy, it's going to be Millwall or Coventry. But it's funny how you always remember the rubbish attacking players you've got. I don't know if that's just because you expect them to put the ball in the net, and when they don't, you just get sick of them. Or what it is, but you very rarely go, oh yeah, the worst player I saw was a centre half.
Yeah, I think it's the times these players are signed as well. Normally when you're going through a tough patch, you'll end up making a stupid signing that you don't need, and then when you're desperate for a goal and you bring in Robert Hulse or Ian Holloway's favourite Gary Taylor Fletcher, between them 21 games, 0 goals.
What a return. Yeah, I mean, you say they're all good players, if only I could agree. Having watched Coventry for around about 25 years now, not sure I'd agree that they're all good players. But yeah, worst player you've ever seen. You have worst players you've ever seen for a few different reasons. You go 0 goals in 21 games, and then you get some bloke who comes in with the nickname Pitbull as a broken jaw incident, and then gets a suspension for his comments on the IRA. Welcome to the floor, Gary Deegan. That's one of my nominations there, but player. Still probably not the worst that I've ever witnessed. And we've had a OAP version of Peter Ramage at Coventry. We've had David Bell, who looked like he'd never played a game before when we brought him in. And then we start moving into some real players. Kevin Kyle. Kevin Kyle, booed off the pitch by his own fans on more than one occasion. Everything he did came off his chin, his ankle, just never his foot. It was quite a big signing when he came in, and we thought, oh yeah, we've finally got a striker here who can score. Jesus Christ, were we wrong. Then again, we thought the same about Craig Bellamy, and that's who I'm going for. He's the worst player I've ever seen. Practically refused to play, claimed he was bullied. Yeah, Craig Bellamy. He was awful for us, and that's probably going to confuse a few people, because he's obviously played for some big clubs, but worst player I've ever seen, Craig Bellamy.
What, you're not going for Yakubu?
Oh, God, what a shout that is. Yakubu, the man who literally didn't move for about 20 minutes of a game. Yeah, that was another panic buy, like Andy says. When you're struggling and you need some goals, you bring old Russell Slade in to turn down your fortunes as manager, joker, and he gets a few oldies in, brings in Yakubu. Now, there was quite a lot of excitement when Coventry managed to somehow get Joe Cole in a few years ago. And big name, played at the top. A few people went, God, that's a great signing. A few people felt the same about the Yak. Feed the Yak and he will score. I think only part of that actually happened. He definitely looked like he fed himself, the Yak.
It was towards the end of his career, because he did, everyone knows he did used to be good back at Portsmouth, but I've never seen a lazier player.
We've all seen the video clip of the worst miss ever, Yakubu.
You say towards the end of his career, that was actually his last club, Coventry City. Only three appearances as well. Surprising.
I'd say it was more like one and a half appearances, but I suppose it was three officially.
Yeah.
Absolute joke.
It is a famous video on the internet, that performance he put in. So we'll dig that one out for you afterwards.
Performance. The guy doesn't move.
More of a sort of art performance,
you know? He's the sort of player that you'd love to know where he's ended up now. Can't imagine he's exerting himself too much. Probably sat on the beach somewhere, just living the dream. Good old Yakubu.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't spent a lot of time researching him, but I mean, last club, 2017, Coventry City. That's where his Wikipedia page stops. And I doubt we're going to see him make a return to football in a management capacity anytime soon.
Well, Yakubu wasn't always that bad. When he signed for Portsmouth, he made a bet with Harry Redknapp because he said he'd get 20 goals a season.
And I said, you get 20 goals, I'll give you £20,000. Me personally, not the club, me.
So the end of the season rolls around and they've got Middlesbrough on the last day of the year. And he scores four. He scores four on the last day of the season. And they go into the dressing room and he's almost in tears. And Harry goes up to him. He's like, why are you in tears?
He said, yeah, but another goal. He said, and I had 19. Another goal, I'd have got 20. You've got £20,000 off of you. I said, if I'd have known that, I'd have subbed you straight away.
Brilliant for Harry.
Well, some more questionable ethics from Redknapp there, but we won't go into that.
Yeah, he'd have only found a way to fiddle the finances. Anyway. Good story, that, but it's hard to believe he ever scored any goals if you ever saw him in a sky blue shirt.
Or even got into the box. Or got out of the semicircle.
Or moved.
Perhaps a manager at the time said, if you stay in that centre circle for 90 minutes, I'll give you £20,000.
I'd have pushed him out there myself if I'd realised. Before we make a decision, you know, move it to 2020, here's some honourable mentions for Yuri Skalic and John Daddy Bodvarsson.
You've gone for a current player.
Harsh.
Dad Bod's not in your best books at the moment, is he?
He's having a tough time.
Yeah, I think a few Cov fans would have something to say about Jervaine Castanier as well. He came in as a bit of an unknown from the Dutch league. Hasn't really done anything. I went to a pre-season game to watch him with my dad against Liverpool youngsters. And Christ, he would actually be competing against Yakubu for the widest man on the pitch I've ever seen. Looked like he'd had a great off-season. Unfortunately, he doesn't look like he's actually got down to any work since then. Not played many games. Came on and did a Sol Campbell-esque sliding tackle where he slid for about an hour, managed to get himself sent off in a game last season. He's not really featured. And then the most recent summer transfer window, Robbins made it pretty obvious that he was trying to get rid of him. Sent him on trial back to a Dutch club. They've took one look at him and gone, oh no, we're not signing you. So he's come back to just keep stealing a wage from Coventry. So another big honourable mention.
Right, I'm voting for Yakubu. I've not seen anything like it. I've not seen anyone move that little on a football field.
It's hard to disagree, to be honest, but God, this is tough. Kevin Carr, Craig Bellamy, Peter Ramage, Gary Deegan.
there's only one award that those four are up for.
God. Yeah. It's not exactly like reading out the list of nominees for the Ballon d'Or here, is it? just because I can't stand the bloke, I'm going Craig Bellamy for me.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to be upset with that choice, are they? For myself, I've just remembered as we're talking now, like Rob Hulse did score a fairly spectacular / lucky overhead kick against Luton in the Cup. So he did get a goal. So I'll have to go for Gary Taylor Fletcher. Turns up, Ian Holloway signing, so that makes it even worse. I'd be very surprised if Yakubu was in a worse shape than he was when he joined.
That's a different vote for another episode.
But thanks for the question, Kath. Email at threesacrowdpod@outlook.com.
This is just ridiculous.
Talking of ridiculous, it's about time we did our goals of the week. And my nomination, I've already mentioned today, but I'm going to have to stick with it. It's Connor Wilkinson's goal for Leighton Orient against Port Vale. It's an absolute mess. And for that reason alone, I've got to vote for it. But also the fact that the Port Vale player manages to do a clearance against his own player and it rolls out to Wilkinson, who puts a ball in the net. So that's my nomination this week. What have we got, boys?
Right, to try and stop you getting four in a row, I've gone for Watford's Chalabar's first goal in 6 years. Didn't look like he hadn't scored in 6 years. Big Troy Deeney chipping the ball over the top, like some Barcelona-esque play. And then Chalabar, instead of just taking it down, decides to volley it from the edge of the box. Side on, bottom corner. Absolute screamer.
Yeah, it was a great finish, that one.
Yeah, I'm actually going to stay in the same game. Slightly different goal. But I mean, Troy Deeney's first goal of the season. Great to have him scoring in the FL again. It's a penalty.
If I lose this,
it's the way he's taken the penalty. And the fact that Declan Rudd in the Preston goal, he knows exactly what Deeney's going to do. He stands his ground, doesn't move. And yet Dean has still done exactly the same thing, just hammered it down the middle. It's just too hard for him to stop. So what are we thinking? We're thinking an absolute howler, a penalty, or it went out all right goal just because he hadn't scored in 6 years.
Me turning up with a well-worked corner routine doesn't look too bad now, Andy. That does mean I'm going to lose to a penalty or a League Two goal mouth scramble. Great.
And what a penalty. Yeah, well, this week I'm going to stick with my own one, go for Troy Deeney. I think it's so good to see him scoring goals in the Championship again.
I'm going to stick with Chalabar. It's a fantastic finish. And it does involve Deeney.
Leaves me with the difficult decision. Well, I think it's nice to see Deeney back off his holidays and putting the ball in the net. Yeah, he's absolutely belted it. I'm going with Deeney. Sorry, Luke.
I've lost to a penalty.
I'm sure Chalabar won't be too disappointed that his Watford teammates got the award this week.
Yeah, when he listens in.
Yeah.
Well, boys, I think that'll do us this week and we'll wrap the podcast up. Obviously, we'll be back again next Monday with another podcast. See you there, boys.
Have a good week, all.
See you next Monday. And it started exactly how Warnock would have wanted, with Britisombe.
Cheers, Ness. With Britisombe, Mr. Blobby.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God. That is fucking brilliant. A song for Blobby.
It was going so well as well. A song for
trying to recover it as well. A song book blog.
Yeah, he started again. With Bill.
That'll do, won't it?
I would say the hello at the start literally just sounds like, oh!
So I had the right to laugh at that.
Play the clip.
Yay!
Hello! I can't wait for that to start.
Welcome to the...